box of ball bruised around from a punch meant for my face. I know what you think about fighting.
Bored.
And then see what happens.
But we can just like talk for a second and screw around, like, you know, and then fade in from musics.
Oh, right, because there's no music just out here in the streets of Santa Fe, the mean streets. What do you think the music of the mean streets of Santa Fe would sound like?
Jenny lights her cigarette. Something up didn't make them mad. Well, welcome, everybody.
Does it lot in stereo?
We are sitting on a front porch.
It's a lot of chicken Alfredo.
Which can be trouble depending on your tolerance for dairy and Alfredo.
I know. It'll make you poop, like, a lot.
We're sitting on the front porch in Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm.
We met halfway here with our mom to have, like, a meetup together.
Yeah. It's about halfway, but I would say that the drive you guys got is probably prettier than the drive that I get.
Yeah, ours is only horrible for probably the last few hours. And mm-hmm. actually, even that's not terrible. It's no, like, you know, driving east. Or if you come to Utah, when we drive to Utah to go crafting,
yeah,
World of Raftcraft,
mm-hmm.
The last little bit of that is pretty boring.
It's pretty just barren and flat.
And you can see so far down the road. You can see so far into your own boring future that it's painful to witness.
It's like if you could see every day you were at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you could just see every day.
Yeah, ahead, stretched out ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
just
God.
Like stretched out ahead of you like some kind of horrible death cat. Stretching its paws from your birth to your death.
I met a cat.
Yeah.
I met a few cats on this trip.
You did?
There was one who was.
Wait, do we need a song for this? I love cats. I love every kind of cat. I just want to hug all of them, but I can't hug every cat. Ding, 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 ding. Can't hug. There's no background music.
I don't know.
That's right.
I have no idea.
Anyway.
Yeah, I met a cat who was sleeping on top of a dresser in a flea market.
You did?
Who you claimed was working.
The cat is at work. It's, you know, it probably keeps... Did you see a single mouse running around that flea market?
I didn't.
I'll bet there's a ton of mice in that flea market. There's a bunch of little habitats. And everything for them, like a bunch. They could hide in various like novelty frogs.
Yeah.
And
lots of frogs.
They could hide.
Lots of lizards.
Yeah.
I saw a nice mask where it was a person's face and then a lizard crawling on their face.
Mm-hmm.
And the lizard's basically the size of their entire face. And I was like, oh, that's good nightmare material. Thank you for that.
Fuel.
I'd never thought of that happening.
They might be hiding in the traditional Santa Fe, New Mexico skull.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is painted to look like the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, they had skulls, you know, that are... A lot of the stuff at this place, I would categorize... You know, there was nice stuff, and also... But it's stuff that if you're opening a Mexican restaurant, and you're like, I really want this place to look like a Mexican restaurant, you could fill your entire walls of your restaurant with this stuff.
It's like you need tchotchkes that scream Mexican restaurant. You come in with, like, a cardboard box, and, like... $40, and you could just shovel, like, to put one arm on a shelf and just shovel it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're like, I want some tiles. I want some dishes. I want mm-hmm. some weird cups. Maybe, like, a giant skeleton and a sombrero.
Right.
To put near the front door, and we name him, you know, Esquibel.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got your restaurant.
Yeah, you're set.
So, there were some pretty good items, though. Yeah, there were skulls. So there were skulls that were painted in the traditional sort of glossy colored style.
Uh-huh.
And then there were also, you know, you could get a skull that was painted like whatever your favorite football team is.
Yep. Or in some cases, baseball team.
Yeah, there was also a baseball team.
Now, see, actually, baseball team to me makes sense because those skulls have some connection with like Mexican heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And baseball, bigger in Mexico than football is.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm guessing. I don't know. There's not an NFL team in Mexico.
No, there should be.
Also, there are baseball teams in Canada. Yeah. Why wasn't there a baseball team from Mexico?
I don't know. Well, I think because all of Mexico's baseball team is on America's baseball teams.
If there's somebody there, they'll just go to an American team.
Yeah.
Also,
they should open the NFL to like 10 foreign teams.
Mm.
Like, be like, all right, you know, we're letting in Canada and Mexico. Then, you know, maybe like a South American and
Ireland.
Asian, yeah.
Apparently,
a European team.
See, the thing is, apparently, American football is really big in Ireland. I'm not really sure why, but I was in a bar in Dublin, and it was on, and people were actually it wasn't just like on as background. People were watching the game and had questions about it. Like, they actually followed it.
Yeah, I always wonder, because, you know, people will tell you like, you know, football players aren't tough. They wear all these pads.
Mm-hmm.
It's rugby that's tough. But I feel like rugby players are like 100 pounds lighter and traveling at half the speed.
Yeah.
And they're not like specifically trying to hurt each other.
They like, from every time I see rugby, it looks like kind of a giant group hug is taking place.
Yeah, and it's like you're trying to get the ball away from someone else.
Right.
Whereas in football, there's people who are like not trying to touch the ball. They're trying to hit you as hard as they can.
Most of the time, you're not trying to touch the ball.
Right.
Like, there's very specific times, and actually on the field, very specific people. But maybe it's like, you know how there's the odd person here in America who follows European soccer really, really closely?
Sure.
Like Matt, who listens to this show.
Sure.
Occasionally. I'm guessing there has to be the inverse in Europe, where like people will follow American football really, really closely.
Do you think there's a European who follows American soccer?
No.
I mean, there's got to be. Well, okay, I'm going to just expose my ignorance of soccer.
Right.
Does American soccer and European soccer play at the same time?
I think European soccer plays like at different times, because, you know, Europe is not one unified place.
See, this is why I think it would be smart if American soccer... Well, but they play against each other. You know what I mean? Like, Spain plays against Italy or whatever.
Well, like, sometimes, England will come over, like, and they'll send all of their players who don't have big contracts, you know, to play America's All-Stars or whatever it is.
Okay, so this is my question. So Europe obviously must have a soccer season.
See, I think different countries have different seasons.
I can't possibly... I think they have, like, lead-up seasons, but then it's got to be one season.
Because
how would they play against each other? It's not like... That would be like if, in football, every state had its own season.
Well, I think they have, like... They have sort of national teams that play, like, for a European Cup or something like that. They
also have their own clubs. Pro soccer.
Yeah, they also have their own clubs within the country. Like, Chelsea doesn't go play, you know, for the European Cup.
So let me get this straight.
I don't know.
Your premise is that perhaps, like, if you live in Britain, your soccer season is like September to fucking December. And if you're in Ireland, maybe your soccer season is March to June.
Well, probably not that different in England, Ireland, but you could see it being different, like in England and Italy, you know, where the weather's totally different.
But they have summer at the same time.
But the summer in Italy might be hot.
I don't know, man. Regardless, I'm going to go on the premise that they have the same season.
Okay. Because
that seems sane.
We need some theme music for Pete's Sports Talk.
And what they need to do is, yeah, child pornography music.
That's all right.
They need to then play the American soccer season opposite, right? Because maybe, I mean, it's probably like the XFL.
Right.
Where that wouldn't do shit. But at least it's something. Like, maybe Europeans would be like, Jesus, this is fucking terrible, but at least it's something.
It's like football, but American.
Yeah.
There'd be like a lot of people in bars or pubs, as they're called.
Yeah.
And
eating their fish and chips.
Eating their fish and chips, not their fish and fries.
Yeah, they're fishing chips.
Or their palms frites.
Or crisps.
Yes.
Or whatever, you know, I don't even know what they call potatoes. Ground seeds. Some shit.
Giant acorns.
Yeah. Some kind of nut. Oh, yeah, we call those granny nuts. Okay.
Well, you know, they probably do call them granny nuts.
I don't know how we came from you.
It's like, what was the reason why we left you guys?
Yeah, we abandoned a lot of things that I'm not sure about, but some things I'm like, yeah, no, you're inherently wrong.
Right. So you're thinking that the Europeans should be able to watch American football, mm-hmm. American soccer.
Well, it would, you know, not so much that they should be able to, but that if European and American soccer is happening at the same time.
Right.
That's crazy. Like, who in Europe is going to ever watch that? However, maybe there's a chance that if American soccer was in the total opposite, you know, it'd be like if China played baseball and they had their season when we were in the dead of winter. Because maybe some baseball fans here would go to ESPN 12 and be like, oh, fuck it, scratches the itch.
Scratches the itch.
I don't need to speak the language. I mean, I know what's going on.
I think if they could overcome the time zone differences and...
I have like 3 tall boys. I don't put in my contact lenses. I can't even tell they're all Chinese.
Exactly. Do you think the Europeans would be weirded out by how many national anthems we have during our games?
How many do we have?
Well, like, cause I was thinking about, I'm going to a baseball game on July 4th.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. So you're going to hear at least 3 because you're going to hear the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah.
America the Beautiful.
Yep.
And a proudly stand up next to you and defend her still today.
It's the unironic song about America.
How many in a stadium full? How many people fit in a stadium?
Thousands, like
50,000 or something,
60,000, 75,000 maybe.
Let's say 60,000.
Okay.
How many dads do you think like shed a tear when that song plays?
Oh, I'm gonna guess like at least 30.
I have this really embarrassing moment that I remember from childhood,
uh-huh.
where that song was playing and there was fireworks and I was like shedding a tear as a boy because I was like, I do love America. And then it wasn't so long afterwards that I was really embarrassed because I was like, I've never been anywhere else.
It's like you haven't been, it's like you've barely been outside of this town.
Here's what I knew. I knew I lived in America and that seemed good.
Right.
A lot of kids I knew were Mexican, mm-hmm. and they were mean to me, and then, or sometimes nice, but that seemed tenuous.
Right.
And then I saw pictures of Somalia, and that looked horrible. So these were most of my references.
Geopolitics of young Pete were America awesome.
Yeah.
Mexico mean sometimes.
Sometimes mean. But if you can be friends with it, it's super cool.
Yeah, it's super cool. And then Somalia, not good.
Mm-hmm. If you could pick of the places, the 3 places I knew,
mm-hmm.
you know, obviously America far and away first. Mexico, if you were like a cool dude or maybe on like a good bike or something, and you were tough enough that if kids like, let me try out your bike, you would be like, all right. But he would bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
Then Mexico. But, you know, Somalia, obviously.
No.
Yeah. You might as well just be born in hell.
But when I went to a baseball game last year, and what I found was weird was they did like God Bless America
mm-hmm.
right before they did Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
What's God Bless America?
It's like, God bless America.
Okay.
My home.
They didn't do America the Beautiful?
They did America the Beautiful at some point.
Okay. But not as... That to me is like more national anthem-y.
I think that's one of those songs that if we could do it over again, we would pick that as our national anthem instead of the Star Spangled Banner.
Probably.
But the weird thing I thought was that they did like God Bless America. And that seemed to be a momentum killer for Take Me Out to the Ball Game, which is like the opposite type of song.
Yeah.
Like, one is sort of supposed to be very, like, because it has this very religious, heartfelt grandiose bend to it as opposed to like
da, 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 da.
Buy me a whole bunch of sugary shit.
Doesn't that song too?
I don't care if I'm gonna get hit by this dude who's drunk as a hot dog. What's going on? Oh, fuck baseball.
Did you say drunk as a hot dog?
Drunk and has a hot dog.
I was about to say, I feel like anytime anyone sings Take Me Out to the Ball Game, they sound drunk. It just sounds like a drunk song. Take me out to the ball. Like, it's like a song you could get through at karaoke if you were completely loaded. Which, by the way, it would be great to get up there and be like, you guys got to take me out to the ball game?
Well, it sounds like it's the thing that, going back to soccer, like, European clubs have, like, soccer chants and things.
Sure.
And they're made to be sung or chanted by people who are super wasted in a bar together.
Right.
But Take Me Out to the Ball Game is the closest thing America has to that. Because you can't really... Football doesn't have anything like that.
No.
Because, are you ready for some football?
Yeah, they don't really have... Football needs a theme. They need to, like, get together and be like... What's our take me out to the ball game? We need a chant.
You can't use the NFL Films theme where it's like... Yeah.
And it's too serious. And it's too like... Can you imagine like listening to that song when you're really wasted? It would just seem so fast.
It sounds like the kind of music that like you're in a B2... Like you're in a big bomber and like the... Like the doors open and you and all the other troops are going to jump out.
Yeah, or like, you know, in the Fantastic Four when they're dropping the thing out of a helicopter.
Yes.
And they're like, where's his parachute? And it's like, he doesn't need one.
So you mean you took something from Captain America the Winter Soldier.
Oh,
and you
hope it's in the
Fantastic
movie.
Four. But that exact thing happens.
God damn it.
So,
well, now I'm upset because the thing they did in The Winter Soldier is what I wanted them to do in Fantastic Four.
Well, it wouldn't work in that context because Captain America lands on a boat.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, Captain America could land on a boat without it just having a giant hole and sinking.
Yeah, why would he just go straight through?
Also, well, that's the thing. Like, it would be a terrible plan because if you had the thing and you dropped it from a helicopter onto a boat, you'd go straight through it and sink it.
Yeah.
But then how would you get him back?
He'd just walk.
He just walks along the bottom.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things I always found was goofy about the Fantastic Four is like the thing swimming around.
Yeah.
And like, I don't think he could swim very well.
The saying is sink like a rock.
Yeah.
He's a rock man.
He doesn't seem like swimming is not really what he would do.
People still can't swim.
Yeah.
You know, like human flesh people.
Like he just would, or he'd be like sort of struggling to swim.
There are things you give up as a rock man.
Yeah.
I feel like swimming's one, but also I'm to understand he can hold his breath a super long time.
Sure.
So he could just walk.
So he's just like has to hit the bottom of the ocean and walk back to shore.
We were talking about this the other night, how the thing. So the thing is this big rock man.
Right.
And I was saying, like, the thing is the character in the Fantastic Four that has all this pathos
mm-hmm.
and is like, you know, I'm a monster.
This man, this monster.
Yeah. But I always felt like reading that, to me, I was like, okay, yeah, you're a rock monster. However, you've also had a life of, you know, great adventures. And you've done all this crazy stuff in space and time and, you know, like come back from the dead and fought Wolverine and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that, if you got the opportunity, if Uatu the Watcher
right.
showed up, Utah the Watcher, and he's this big bald baby who watches everything from the moon,
mm-hmm.
and but we've never seen him somehow.
We've
he's always running on the moon like a treadmill so that he's on the opposite side.
His little dome is like kind of just on a little treads and it's always on the wrong side of the moon.
Yeah, and somehow he watches through the moon.
He's obscure. He makes sure that our view is obscured, but his is not.
It's very complicated.
Yeah.
He put a mirror in space. The mirror space station. Oh. It's all coming together.
So the Russians are really on the side of Utah, son the of Watcher. A bitch.
So the Watcher shows up, and he's like, here's the deal. You could live your life as normal. You won't remember that this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can change you into a rock man, like the Thing, and you'll have super strength and all his abilities, and you're going to get to go on all these fantastic adventures as a member of the Fantastic Four. What do you choose?
I mean, I think you'd almost have to choose the Fantastic Adventures, except there's one thing that you would have to give up for sure.
Yeah.
You probably would never have sex again.
You probably wouldn't have sex. You probably wouldn't really experience human touch. You know, your touch sensitivity would be gone.
Right.
According to the Fantastic Four movie where Michael Chiklis destroys a beer glass.
Mm-hmm.
But you could still drink beer. That's something.
It's like that Astro City comic where they had the guy who was invulnerable.
Yeah.
And he wound up being really fat because, like, the only pleasure he could get, the only sensation he could really have
mm-hmm.
was taste.
Yeah.
Like, he could feel full, you know, even though he couldn't feel pain or, like, someone rubbed on him. That's the thing. It's like, you could never get... It would be so hard to get, not to go to the Mueller instruction, but it would be so hard to get a boner. It would be so hard to get an erection.
So, basically, we could even dumb the question down.
Right.
Would you give up boners for, like, infinite space exploration adventures? A lifetime of it.
A lifetime of... I just heard that sound. I was like, that sound... I don't hope that it wasn't someone trying to hit my car.
No, I think that was a gravel.
Shitty truck.
Yeah.
A lifetime of space adventures, giving up sex forever.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing. I feel like if I went through infinite space,
mm-hmm.
I might spend a lot of my time in the space adventures trying to find someone who could get through my rock monster cock.
No, there's no...
There's just nothing in the universe that's going
to
do
you're
that.
You're not even... You don't have to be a rock monster anymore.
Right.
This is just like you just give up sex entirely.
Mm.
Any sexual thing, beating off, all that stuff, over. Because I think the Thing can probably still jack off, right?
I feel like the Thing
should... rock on rock.
Yeah, I feel like the Thing should be... It's rock on cock.
See?
Rock on rock cock. So people tell him to just rock out with his rock out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just say rock out.
Mm-hmm.
And that means jack off.
And so when his blind girlfriend shows up, it's time to rock on.
Yeah, I love that. So the Thing had this blind girlfriend for a while, and the premise was kind of like, well, she sees his inner beauty,
mm-hmm.
right? But you're like, I would think that would be even worse for a blind person than someone who could see.
Yeah. Because,
okay, the first time you saw the Thing, you'd be like, holy shit. But you'd get over it. And, you know, not everyone dates someone just because they're super handsome.
No. Also, like, there's plenty of... There are plenty of women out there who want the guy who can protect them.
Sure.
You know, or they want to feel...
Plenty of women in the comic books.
Maybe, you know, the comic books, women or trophies or whatever. But
mm-hmm.
you know what would work well with the Thing? Is like if there's someone... Like if there was a woman who was really, really tall.
Or like really, She-Hulk?
Really big. Like She-Hulk. But I meant like an actual real-world woman. Like a lot of models are really tall.
Sure.
And big. You know, they're not like big and bulky, but they're just really tall and tend to tower over
right.
normal people.
Amazonian.
Yeah. And so if they could date someone who towers over them, who makes them feel, you know, normal
right.
sized.
Because then they're like on a red carpet with Ben Grimm, the Thing.
Right.
And they look tiny mm-hmm. because it's like he's fucking ridiculous.
But then again, I'm trying to remember like the comics proportionally. Sometimes it looks like they draw the Thing to look really short.
I think he's not super tall.
Yeah.
I would guess. I don't have my Marvel trading cards here that, you know, tell the little of their speed, agility,
mm-hmm.
intelligence. I would put him at like 6 feet to 6'5".
So if he's like 6'5", though, but he's also, but since he's a massive 6'5" rock monster, he looks giant. He's not like 6, because I know, like, I have a friend who's like 6'3" or 6'4".
Yeah.
But he weighs about as much as I do.
Yeah, that's no good.
And so it's just like he's super tall. And you could immediately tell, by the way, because there's a handful of women where tall is their thing.
Yeah.
And it's whenever he walks in, it's like, You're tall.
Yeah. Being tall is like a just an advantage.
Right.
Cross. Okay, but if you're the thing and you're with a model, even if she's taller, she looks great. She looks right. thin, mm-hmm. which is for a model a great thing. Okay. Back to the question, though. You become the thing to, you know, travel the spaceways, see infinite wonders. But, you know, no more jacking off. And, like, no more other human touch or whatever. But
right.
primarily, that's not going to happen. As the Watcher, I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. You could search for it all you want.
It sounds like you as the Watcher trying to seduce me into your lifestyle.
No.
Because the Watcher, think about it. You don't see any female Watchers
running around. The Watcher's got a huge dick, and he knows how to swing that shit.
You don't see it. You know who else is in the Watchers? The Recorder, that little, like, robot that has a tape player in its chest.
What do you think else it might have on it?
It's just, is it a transformer and turns into, like, a giant fleshlight?
It must, right? Why not? It's like, we're going to leave this guy alone to watch this planet. And we... Okay, if you left a Watcher on the moon to watch the whole Earth, you don't want to leave him completely without release, because then he's just going to be watching naked chicks in the shower or naked dudes or whatever he's into, and that's not going to work. He's not going to see anything. He's not going to record history.
He's going to watch MODOK because it's the only other creature with a giant bulbous head like his.
Well, or, you know, it's like, oh, the Revolutionary War is happening, but he's going to be like, John Adams' wife is bathing naked in a stream.
Yeah, Abigail Adams is naked again. Yeah,
Abigail Adams has got history's nicest cans.
So the Watcher is one of the few beings in the universe who could compile history's nicest cans.
Yeah, he could. If, you know, if Maxim was in the Marvel U, they would want the Watcher to come up with their lists. Like,
right.
Best Beach Bods 2015. He'd be like, well, empirically, I can tell you, actually, it's not, and, you know, it's not even necessarily celebrities.
Yeah, it's usually not.
It's like, just this human, then this human.
It's like, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one.
Yeah.
It's just like, send us 12 images, like, yeah, there you go.
And this lady is the best beach body right now, but in 3 months, forget it.
This was like the best beach body when you asked me the question, and by the time I sent you all these photos, this new one has come up.
And don't ask why I've been taking photos.
Don't ask why. I guess he's got a... That's what he's got. I guess the Recorder's supposed to be taking photos with the little tape player.
Recorder, which is named the Spank Bank 5000. So would you do it?
I think... To be the thing and to travel to all those cosmic places.
And by the way, punch out space monsters and shit. You know, clobber in time.
That would be kind of... I think that's what I'd have to replace sex with, is like punching bigger and bigger monsters.
You just ejaculate in your Fantastic Four thing diaper because you're like, I choked the life out of a Kree and then I came. I have a problem.
I took the Super Skrull's hand that looks like my hand and shoved it up his ass.
And that was all it took.
That's all it took. And I jizzed everywhere.
But would you do it? Okay.
I got this uniform of unstable molecules, but I could still break it over my knee.
Oh, God. Yeah, what do you think happens if you came in a Fantastic Four suit?
I think, like, somehow I think, like, Reed would be very disappointed in you.
It would just be like, I see you came in your suit. The suit's microbots handle it, but God damn it.
The microbots report to you, like, to read and Tony Stark to be like, come on.
Yeah, and Tony Stark is like, he shoots in his rocket boots over to your house to high five you and then goes home drunk.
It's awesome to come to you.
Dude, bro.
Well, see, that there's got to be something like that, because you know who's going to have problems with her suit all the time? Sue Storm.
If she... What do you mean?
Because she's going to be, like, on her period every now and then. Do you think her suit knows? Like, how does her suit just deal with that?
It would be handy if, like, she didn't have to use any sort of lady products, and she could just wear her Fantastic Four suit, and it's like, oh, yeah, nanites, just clean it up.
There's a trend at some... small liberal arts colleges of free bleeding. Have you seen that?
No.
Where it's just like not using any kind of feminine hygiene product.
And doesn't that ruin your pants?
Yes.
Okay.
Essentially, like they showed a picture of it, and it was just like a woman, and she kind of had her skirt pulled up so you could see her panties, and there's just kind of blood running down one side.
I mean, okay. No, I'm saying no to this, and here's why. I don't think that like being managing outflow during a period.
You're trying to find a word.
Trying for this. Really hard. But like when you're shooting juices out because it's once a month and that happens, I don't think that that's to me, maybe to others, but to me, that is not a matter of like freedom liberation.
Mm-hmm.
That is purely a like just keeping clean. I'm not even going to say hygiene, but like, okay, if I'm having diarrhea,
right?
I don't just have diarrhea and then be like, hey, man, it's natural, whatever. Or I would ask those same people, like, all right, well, what if I have real bad gas in class and just start farting in class and I just ripping them like crazy? Would you just, what? And I'm like, hey, that's natural. That's how it naturally is. You're oppressing my body by telling me I can't just rip constant farts in class, even though I have every option to control it. I choose not to. That's A. B. To me, it's about, like, well, I don't want to ruin my clothes.
Right.
C, let's say you wear a skirt and, like, no underpants because you're like, whatever. Well, you are not welcome in my car. And please don't go to the movies. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's asking a lot to tell someone, like, could you not get blood on things around, you know, just around town? If you're going to a pizza place, could you not bleed? If I cut my finger, I wouldn't just bleed all over the table and be like, well, it's natural. It's blood.
It's like some kind of horrible anime where you're just like spraying it on everyone else's pizza.
And I'm just eating my pizza and I'm like, well, fuck it. I mean, it's natural. Hey, this is my body.
It's my
blood shame me.
Blood shame.
No, that's retarded.
I think that like that's the thing is when you get a skid mark in your underpants. Because we all wear our underpants more than one day.
Sure.
Right. And everyone listening to this podcast. No,
I don't, but
okay.
Go on.
So Peter's the only one who doesn't. He's the freak.
Yeah. No, the rest of you are gross.
That's right.
Everyone listening to this is a fucking gross idiot.
Yeah.
Continue.
But all of we gross idiots, we might wear our underpants more than one day before we wash them.
Okay.
And we probably all wear our t-shirts more than one day before we wash them.
That I do. Now, my underpants, I got to be honest, I don't usually wear more than one day because usually I go for a jog or do something.
Okay.
To where they're saturated with ball sweat.
And that's,
you cannot go 2 days. You can't dry those out and then go another day.
And that's the sort of, you have the extreme and you're a, and also you're a sweaty man.
Very sweaty. I can't do it. I could conceive of other people being able to do that.
And people, like, if your normal underpants, it's almost like someone's like, did you go in a sauna? Or, like, did you just drop these in the shower?
It's gross. It's no good. It is not a good situation.
And so, but for most of us who don't sweat that much.
Right.
Or don't have that kind of ball sweat.
Right.
We can get away with maybe one, like, 2 days. But if you get a skin mark in those, you're done.
Right. That's the end of that cycle.
That's the end of that cycle.
You don't try and push for two. It's already like, why are you pushing for 2 days?
Right.
But yeah, when they're ruined that way, you know, if you diarrhea'd again, I'm going to compare a period to diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
If you diarrhea'd in your underpants, and I would say you probably need to change your pants as well. And you know what? Maybe you're like, oh, this is day one. I could usually push these pants to 3 days or something.
Right.
Why? You don't need to. You don't need to do that. Just change.
Just change your pants at that point. But it's like, basically, if you're free bleeding, you're going to just ruin some pair of clothes. Or you're going to have to pick
something.
You're going to have to pick your period clothes, which I think there's got to be some women who have. They're like, I'm on my period. Here's something I can't ruin.
Yeah,
like, okay. They don't wear their white pants or something.
Here's my question. You're free bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
Would you sit at home on your own couch?
Me?
Like, if you had blood coming out of your pee hole, would you just be like, eh, fuck it, and then just sit on the couch and bleed on the couch?
I don't sit on my own couch.
Like, what do free bleeding people do? How do they manage it?
I didn't read.
They just have blood
the...
spots on the couch?
Yeah, it's like...
No. No.
It's...
Not yeah. No. No.
Like,
it's horrible.
I think a lot of it is like on my couch, I'll put down like a little sheet if I'm eating on it.
Okay.
You know, because it's this...
That's cool.
It's hard to clean. And I have old sheets. Like, I have a set of sheets for a bed that I don't own anymore.
Okay.
You know, so I said, and I have some sheets that, like, over time, you know, I get nicer sheets, so I kept the old ones.
So if you rent yourself up, like, you're like, I'm doing a RoboCop marathon.
Right.
I'm going to eat a pizza on the couch. Then you'll put a sheet on the couch.
That's right.
Okay.
And, like, well, and I have that, so that way it's just, it's much easier to clean the sheet than it is to clean the upholstery.
Right.
You know, so.
No, that's true. I'm just surprised. It seems like a lot of work.
It's actually not too bad because you just kind of fold it down, put it on there, and then take it off after a few days.
Yeah, so you just, okay, I'm free bleeding.
Right.
I wake up, I'm bleeding in bed.
Mm-hmm.
So I've stained my sheets and mattress.
Yeah, period blood can menstrual do blood. That.
Yeah. Then I get up, you know, I get dressed, I ruin those clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Every piece of upholstered furniture, including the seat in my car, is ruined. I guess that's why, to me, it's like, I see where they're I see the point that they're making.
Right.
Like, I understand what they're saying. I just think, to me, it's like, I don't know if you're really proving much of a point by ruining your personal objects.
It's the prisoner burning his own mattress to make a point.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, you're making the point, but then you don't have anything to sleep on anymore.
Or it's me, like, I make an enemy, and what I do is I shit in my hand and then throw the log of shit at him.
Right.
And it's like, well, now he's got a shit stain on his chest, but I've just been handling my own log of shit.
Chest is ambitious. We know your hand-eye coordination.
Yeah. Maybe I get a bit on his shoulder as it goes flinging by. But the point is, my result is not... How far I had to go for my result is too far.
Right.
To make it worthwhile.
It was you damaged yourself really more than you damaged anybody else. And especially when... Your target is not an individual. That's one of the differences in the analogy. It's not like an individual person. It's a society or a concept.
Well,
you can't harm a concept by bleeding all over your own couch.
I also think it's like one of those things that you're fighting the man.
Right.
Right. It's sort of like I've read a few articles about breastfeeding in public. Right. Which to me is like, I think we're all past this now in terms of if that's what you want to do, go for it. You know, I think most people have no problem with that.
Right.
And the ones who do, it's like, well, who cares? However, it's noticeable when someone whips out a boob in public because that is the same as if I whipped out a ball.
Just one ball.
And I had a you know what it's the same as is me? I always compare it to peeing in public as a dude. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm using my penis to do something that has no sexual charge for me. I'm not R. Kelly. I'm not remixing Ignition.
Right.
And fresh out the kitchen. I am putting waste products from inside my body to outside my body.
Mm-hmm.
End. Full stop. Okay. But... There are, like, these articles out there about, like, oh, I was shamed for breastfeeding in public or, you know, da-da-da-da. And sometimes I'm like, is this, like, an imaginary person that you're railing against? Or is this, like, you know, is this one idiot who, yeah, was like, oh, I don't think you should do that in public. And it's like, yeah, I mean, one idiot is going to tell you something wrong about everything.
Right.
Any idea you have, there's one idiot out there who's going to tell you that you're wrong. and that's one idiot. Fuck them.
It's like there was one idiot on the light rail the other day. There were some kids talking, and they were just talking like normal kids. Then one idiot was like, "Hey, kids, you can't swear on the train."
Yeah. And you're like, "Go fuck yourself, old man." It's like,
"Oh, okay."
Yeah. Like, who cares? You're swearing on the train.
It's it doesn't really affect anything, doesn't hurt anybody.
Yeah.
And so no one's going, but the difference is those kids aren't going to write a article for the Huffington Post about how they were told to I was swear ashamed.
This is my language. I grew up with this language. He doesn't understand.
It's part of my heritage.
Yeah. It's part of my proud heritage as a swearer.
That I have a friend who does research on breastfeeding and breastfeeding policies at workplaces and things.
Yeah.
But I guess it seems like breastfeeding in public, it becomes more and more like the exceptionally weird case is the one where people have problems with it.
Yeah.
And so I just don't see it as a big deal. Like, who gives a shit?
I don't care, and it's not something, it's something that you're like so rarely confronted with.
Right.
All I ask is like, okay.
You can't do it while you're driving a car.
Well, if I do a double take.
Right.
Because I just am like, is someone breastfeeding? Oh, yep. Okay.
Right.
That's going to happen. I'm sorry. However, other than that, I don't care. And also, you know, it's been my experience that there are many women who are like, I'm not comfortable doing that.
Right.
And like, that's fine too. Like, you shouldn't have to breastfeed to prove to other people that it's okay to do so in public. It's like, whatever. Yeah, I don't know. There are certain things. I don't clip my nails in public.
You should. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, you could.
What a thrill.
It's pretty fun. And you know what really makes it nice is if you get some nice nail clippers, especially ones with little turquoise inlays that you can get here Santa Fe.
Highlight of the trip. I was sitting in the living room, and Ian's on one side of me, and our mom's on the other side. And she has a book about turquoise.
Because we're in Santa Fe.
The stone, not the color.
Right.
And he has his iPad, and they just start trading turquoise facts back and forth. Now, this is not like a one-upsman, like, did you know 6 billion tons of turquoise was found in this mine? Well, 8 billion was found. It would just be like, well, did you know that turquoise was discovered here in 1856? Well, did you know turquoise is the 18th hardest stone? And they were just trading turquoise facts back and forth until I stopped and was like, let me get this straight, what I'm witnessing right now. You guys are just telling each other unrelated facts about turquoise, and it seems like trying to win but I don't know what is winning at that.
It's like having for you, it was like watching people who have a Monopoly board.
Yeah.
They just kind of move, like they're rolling die and they're moving pieces around.
Right.
But they're not really exchanging money. No one's going to jail. You're just flipping over cards. Like, you're not really in, you're kind of playing the game, but you're not really engaged against each other.
Well, and maybe also you're like, every time you land on something, you're explaining once again how
Monopoly why you're works.
Buying it or not.
Right.
And the answers are the same every time. I am buying this because early in the game, it's good to snatch up as much property as possible.
Right.
However, if we were playing with the original rules, which limit the amount of money one starts with, these decisions must be made carefully. And then, you know, the next person goes and says basically the same thing. And then it goes again.
So you're saying you weren't fascinated by the fact that there was a time not too long ago where turquoise was considered the next big investment.
Well, by
the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, supposedly Wall Street Journal was like, turquoise, big as diamonds.
And this was like in the 50s or the 60s?
Yeah, and they're like, turquoise is the next diamonds.
Right. Which is part of what prompted the turquoise facts for me. Is like, I had to look up, like, how much is turquoise worth now? Versus how much is a diamond worth now?
Yeah, and it was like a tenth?
It's like, it's 0.1%.
Oh, okay, 0.1%.
Of a diamond's so value. None. So like, it is not even close.
Basically, take a random rock.
Right.
And this is a step up.
The turquoise is more valuable than a random rock, but not by a huge margin.
It would probably be cheaper to seek out a large chunk of turquoise than it would be to purchase a rock, polish it, and then spray paint it turquoise.
See, I think it's a little more valuable than that.
Well, I don't know.
But it seemed like the kind of thing, when I looked at the value of it, what seemed insane to me is that people mined it and still mine it. Like,
this is like a mined product is turquoise.
It's like, do you think you would be proud if you came home to your son and your little son asked, mm-hmm. Daddy, what do you do? And you're like, I'm a turquoise miner.
I mine stones that's basically for jewelry for 50 plus women. Like,
there's no country songs being written about you and your plight.
You got to know in turquoise. Dig out the turquoise.
Take out the turquoise.
Walk away.
Go in the mountain for all the boys. See, I said all the boys. See, that kind of rhymes.
Turquoise, yeah, but boys don't wear turquoise.
Yeah. Gotta get that turquoise with you and all the boys.
You know, I wonder if, like, you know how 90s fashion was kind of big for a while?
Yeah.
And, like, they still have, you know, those weird shorts from the 90s that girls wear, and that's kind of still in. Maybe, like, Southwesty jewelry will be in soon.
See, I think that Southwesty jewelry, because I did go to the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum while I was here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Southwesty jewelry has been around since the 50s and never really went away. Like, the thing is, it never went away. Because I think for something to come back, it has to vanish for a little while.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
And that Southwest jewelry is one of those things that people tend to grow into or age into.
Yeah, maybe. I could just picture, like, in, you know, your Brooklyns or your Williamsburgs in a couple years, they're all dressed like they're from fucking New Mexico.
When sort of the hipster trucker fad dies out and they need the next thing.
Yeah, and it's like the hipster. It was like hipster trucker, hipster lumberjack.
Right.
And then it becomes hipster 50-year-old lesbian.
That's
going to be the new.
That seems like kind of a big class jump, too. Like, where someone's like, I'm going to try to get a whole bunch of silver and turquoise jewelry.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, though, is I think a lot of these looks start, and when they start, part of what's appealing is it's hard to get. Like, it's hard for someone else to replicate immediately. Right. So if someone started dressing real Southwesty, then it would take a couple weeks before all their friends could be like, yeah, I'm going to start doing that shit.
So what's the, I mean, what is the male version of that?
Of dressing Southwesty?
Yeah, is it like, you look like Raiden from the Mortal Kombat movie. Long gray hair in a ponytail.
Like, a Raiden.
Yeah.
Christopher Lambert. That's like Eastern shit.
Mm-hmm. No, well, like, okay, but that's the thing with
the male Southwest.
With all the stuff we've been around in Santa Fe, there's a whole bunch of little stores that have the tchotchkes.
Oh,
they have a whole bunch of, like, Indian ones and Tibetan ones everywhere, so it's not that far.
The male version is a fat guy in an Indiana Jones hat and a tucked-in polo shirt to cargo shorts.
Yes.
Who's arguing with a stall owner over how much a bead should cost.
That sounds about right.
Just something I witnessed today. It was like a pendant or something, and this lady, and he was like, $12. He's like, $12?
I remember that. Yeah, like, it is, looked like it was a granddaughter. Like, too young to be a daughter. Like, the age difference too big to be a daughter.
Yeah.
Like, a granddaughter. And she really wanted the pendant and didn't seem to understand, like, that $12 was way too much.
Yeah.
You know, like, that why there was a price problem.
Yeah.
And he's like, $12? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know. You're fucking, if you're just the grandpa and the granddaughter's buying the thing and the guy says it's $12, I would just be like, eh, fuck it.
I was at that same stand, and we were walking around and looking at some stuff, and there was, like, when I saw things that were priced at $12, like, there were, the price tag said $12.
Yeah, it's all priced.
It's all priced there. And I looked at it and I thought, what the fuck? No. I mean, I understood where that guy was coming from. I don't think I get outraged by it.
Yeah.
But it's like, it is a very high price.
It is, but at the same time, I mean, I don't know. I feel like when you're a grandpa,
right?
What do you? You're just like, I don't know. I'd rather buy her a pendant than a Pac-Man card or whatever. I don't fucking know.
You don't care.
What is this shit? I spent $10.99 on an app. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what it does. I didn't even want it.
It's just
she insisted I get it.
She insisted I buy an app that I don't actually use. I don't even use this phone.
Yeah, it's called like Flatboard or something. I don't know.
I want to just get a. I just want a phone that makes phone calls.
Yeah. And then I call people and they don't pick up. And then I get these messages and it's reading.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that.
It's too small for my glasses.
Yeah.
Can I get a large print iPhone?
I would be the best and worst grandpa. Like if I was a grandpa right now. Because, you know, it would just be, I would have no problem buying a $12 pendant.
Right.
But also, if my granddaughter was texting me, like, L-U-V-U, Grandpa, I'd be like, don't ever send me a message like that again. If you send me a message like that again, just lose my contact. I'm blocking your number. I had to spend 2 hours waiting at the AT&T store because I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
But I was like, can you block this number? And they said, yes. Yeah, so you've been blocked.
I had to call AT&T on the phone. I mailed ENT a letter
yeah.
to find out how to block someone.
And now I have the written directions. I had someone explain it to me and I wrote down the directions. So if you send me one more text like that, I'm going to block you.
There was a weird thing when we were in the bookstore.
Love, Grandpa.
In the bookstore today that I thought was really bizarre. It might just be that sort of old person thing of someone walked into the bookstore and it's like, do you have a newspaper? And at first I thought like, oh, just buying a newspaper. All right, sure. Old school. She's like, I want to check what time the movies are. I thought, what? I mean, I know that newspapers have movie times in them, but it's like, why don't you just look that up?
Do they still have the movie times in them? I haven't even looked in so long.
Apparently, because when I went up to the register to pay for a few things, they had a little sign that says, like, we have the newspapers, you can read them. So in other words, they're not really trying to sell the newspaper as a bookstore, but they have it every day.
Oh, they're just like, well, here it is.
It's like, well, we got whatever. A newspaper. You know, like they got a subscription for themselves. Like, oh, well, I'm just...
No one's willing to pay for these, so just take them, because otherwise we got to recycle them at the end of the day. It's so weird to like look in the newspaper to find out when the new technology of the movie is happening. It would be like going to the movie theater and you watch a short movie that then explains to you what's good on the internet today.
Well, I had to explain once to a student that back in the olden days of, you know, 8 or 9 TV channels.
Yeah.
The newspaper would publish a little TV guide of what would be on.
What's going to be on.
The shows what's going to be on. And usually not like all day. Usually only from like 3 or 4 to maybe about like midnight.
Right.
After that, it's a crapshoot.
Right.
You have no idea what's going to be on the rest of the day. And that was insane to them. They're like, what?
Well, then sometimes, like, the fancy newspapers would have, like, a little insert for the weekend or something. And then you'd be like, all right, the softcore pornography starts on Cinemax at 11.
Right.
You know, you could kind of evaluate. Because you'd look at it and look at the titles and you'd be like, Cyborg Ninja? Eh, there's probably some boobs in that.
There might be.
But, boy, that's going to be
Steamy Confessions.
Haul. Yeah, now we're getting somewhere. And then, you know, even if it had a description, an incident occurs, and the only way to solve it is via bikini car wash.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm in.
That seems like a way to solve a lot of problems, bikini car wash.
It was, for a time. It's like bikini car wash.
You know, the Israelis and Palestinians have been fighting for years. How could we fix this problem and get them to come together?
Bikini car wash.
Aw, yeah.
That would be a great, like, political movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, these Israelis are going to build a condo.
Right.
Right on the Gaza Strip.
They're going to build another settlement.
They're going to build it right over our religious area, unless we can raise the money to keep them from buying it. Well, if only there was some way. Da-da-da-da.
I like how your theme music you resorted to was Beverly Hills 90210.
I think that would be that. I could see that. I could just see it. That's Bikini Car Wash movie music.
Maybe that's what the woman was looking up, is whether or not there was a Bikini Car Wash movie playing.
Which of these movies is most likely to have a Bikini Car Wash? Jeez, I don't know. Mad Max has a lot of cars in it in the desert.
Yeah,
they need to be cleaned. But
Inside Out is probably least likely.
Yeah, unless it's like, let's see, here are the different emotions represented by these cute characters.
Horniness.
guilt over horniness.
Guilt. Shame.
Yeah.
Frustration.
Responsibility.
Yeah.
Feeling that it's not good to do that. You know what I think killed the Bikini Car Wash to me?
Right.
Is I think the Bikini Car Wash became like a popular like high school cheerleader thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're like, well, this doesn't work. I don't want a 16-year-old in a bikini washing my car. That's weird. I'll just go to the car wash.
It's the, you can't ogle at that point. That's,
no,
that's
you're like, ugh, this is like, this is just me donating to charity at this point. And honestly, it's like, no, I just, you could just wear clothes. Do you have long pants you could wear while you wash my car that are very baggy?
Right. Some baggy sweats to wash the car in.
Yeah, because you're 16, which I didn't ever think would be super young. But now that I'm 30, it seems like you're 5.
Like a polo shirt and some kind of khakis.
It would be like me getting excited about a baby.
Yeah.
Like it's gross and doesn't even make sense. And I wouldn't know how to go about it.
Yeah, that's what you go with. Polo shirt and khakis. No one looks sexy in a polo shirt and khakis.
No. That's what I wear to work a lot. And I can tell you from experience that I look horrible.
Nobody does.
I look like Pat from Saturday Night Live.
That's like, it's like the purpose of that uniform is like, I want someone to not look at me as an object. Bam. Polo shirt and khakis.
I made the mistake of, I feel like this happens more often than it should, statistically, of wearing khakis and a red shirt to Target the other day.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And I always feel like I walk in there and I'm like, oh, fuck.
How does this happen? Work here.
You came up with this. Well, we came up with this pretty good hypothetical the other day.
Okay.
Or maybe yesterday. I don't remember. Basically, it was this. Do you think, so we were talking about Star Trek and Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
And how Star Trek and Star Wars crossed streams.
Mm-hmm.
Because Star Trek was always about like diplomacy and alien races and shit.
Yeah.
And then Star Wars was always about action and laser swords. But then with the newest iteration of Star Trek and the newest iterations of Star Wars.
The prequels.
Yeah. Star Wars became about like trade federations and shit. Star Trek became about like not laser swords, but a collapsible crazy sword.
Right.
And, you know, exploding planets and shit. So the question was, if you went all balls out Star Wars diplomacy, so here's what it was. It's like Aaron Sorkin, writer of the West Wing.
The West Ring, is this the Chinese version?
He writes a new Star Wars movie.
Star Wars.
And it's all diplomacy based. There is no action. It is just like Trade Federation shit and like political scandals.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are weird aliens in it.
Okay.
You could maybe have like Boba Fett walks through the background or something, or you know, someone's like, God damn it, Fett.
I imagine like, because I've seen enough West Wing to know like there would be the sort of walk and talk.
Yeah, oh, where, tons.
Where even though you've barely seen the West Wing, you know what the walk and talk is.
Yeah, and they would be walking down a hallway, and it's like going around the corner, and it's like, sign this paper, and they sign it, and that person peels off.
And they're like, they're having a conversation, and they're walking around. So I could imagine like there's a walk.
Jabba's tail.
And that's what I imagine, like the walk and talk's going by, and like they wanted to, like there's a promised Boba Fett cameo. He's like walking in the background with like a file.
Yeah.
Like some kind of innocuous, like he just he just walks around and he hands someone a file and then he just walks out.
I'm picturing him
just
like
completely disappears.
Just leaning against the wall eating a candy bar and he drops it on the ground and then picks it up and continues eating it.
he like smashes it. He tries to eat it and it just bumps against his face plate.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, right.
They tell him to eat it. He just mashes it into his face plate.
He's going to like, bump. It's like, bump, bump. Press slowly yeah. into his face.
Slowly bashes it. Oh, Mandalorian battle armor. You have such stark pluses and minuses.
And you just want, like, the next sequence, like, they're in the little office, like, the office pool. Yeah. And Boba Fett's, like, using one of the, you know, visitor computers, and he's just got chocolate still smeared all over the front of his helmet.
Caramel going down. He's got one of those cans of compressed air, and he's trying to spray it off.
He's trying to spray it out the little crevices.
So, okay, so we have the so
aside from Boba Fett candy bar eating.
So that aside, it's a purely political. There's no lightsaber is wielded,
mm-hmm.
right? There's no blaster fights, none of that shit. Do you think that this could be a successful movie?
Ooh.
A, could it be a financial success? B, could it be actually good?
See, I think financial success, you just throw Star Wars in front of anything and it will make money.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I mean, that's the thing is it will.
I mean, there's the wildness factor of it.
Yeah.
Where people are like, really? This is what's happening?
Because I can't think of a Star Wars property. And this is something that maybe the fans could look up, the Helpful Snow fans could find. But
sure.
There's got to be I don't think of a Star Wars property that lost money.
Yeah, probably not.
I mean, aside from like the unreleased video games, like that doesn't count. Like that was sort of
the Christmas special.
I'll bet even the Christmas special made money.
Eventually,
like
yeah.
It made money. It probably didn't need to make that much money, and it probably made enough.
Yeah,
because people still watched it. It was all advertising revenue. Networks probably paid a ton for it. So
okay, on the money, I can buy that because I would buy even if it was horrible or even if it was weird, the novelty of it, I think, would bring out enough people for it to make its nut.
That there's if the Star Wars Christmas Special DVD were actually just released, like Disney decided, fuck it, we're going to release it.
They'd make money off that.
They'd make money off of it. Like
that's
true. They would profit from it, even though that's a known terrible property.
But I would be curious. Yeah. If I saw it for $5.99 at Walmart, I would buy it.
And there's
be like, whatever, Christmas is horrible. Might as well watch a horrible thing.
It's like Star Wars is something that Star Wars and Batman have the unfortunate distinction of those things will make money even if they're known to be terrible.
Right, even when you make the action figure that's toxic waste disposal Batman.
Yeah, it will make money.
It's true.
You can't not. So I think there's no way to say it will be a financial failure. Like, okay. It's just not possible.
So let's talk about actually good, though.
Ooh, see.
Is it possible for it to be good?
I try to think of like what would be a similar movie that exists.
It's about like intergalactic diplomacy.
Yeah, it's sort of like I think of some episodes of Battlestar Galactica are kind of like that.
Sure.
And I never saw Caprica, so I assume that would probably be a little bit what it's like, but with weird tentacle monsters every now and then. Like,
yeah, and that didn't do great though, right?
Yeah, and Caprica
didn't light the world on fire.
No. Caprica lights the world on fire so insofar as a sci-fi original series does.
Which is basically not.
Sci-fi original series are usually awful.
Right. Sharknado, the series.
Yeah, and so I think it would be really bad. Even with Aaron Sorkin writing good dialogue, I think it would be...
You don't even have to say Aaron Sorkin.
Right.
I think my question is it possible for that movie to be good?
I think the theory I had was that if it was sort of a character-focused, like almost a House of Cards in the Star Wars universe sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like that would probably be as far as you could go, but eventually the, you know, Frank Underwood Zod, or whatever you would call him,
okay.
Would have to kill somebody with a blaster. Or, you know,
it could happen off screen,
right? Like someone would have, or get pushed in front of a speeder bike or something like that. So, That would have occur.
That kind of minor stuff could happen the same way that, like, in a Grey's Anatomy, someone could, like, get hit by a car.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you can do one thing like, a season.
It wouldn't be an action sequence. Well, it wouldn't even really be an action sequence. It would be like a shove, speeder bike goes by, thump.
Someone has to die.
Yeah, someone dies, yeah. But it doesn't That's mean... Fine. Yeah.
That can happen.
But you can't. They can't die in it at the end of a lightsaber duel.
No, and it has to be, you know, the screen time of it is like 0.1% of the season,
mm-hmm.
or of the movie or whatever. Like, it's you know, like in Law and Order, right?
Right.
They don't show how the dead body got there, really, except then in flashback,
mm-hmm.
and it's a very short, like, explanation.
So, I think, barring that, that's the thing that I think of that could be good, but then it's just, like, trying to copy something else, basically. So, I think it could be good if the people writing it basically copy something like The West Wing or House of Cards that's already pretty good.
Yeah.
So, just steal that and put it Star Wars masks on it. And even then, it would be like, well, I'd just rather go watch the
right.
thing like, that they're copying. Why does it
need to be Star Wars?
Like, why is this? And that was the other point of, like, if it became good, there's no point in making it Star Wars.
Well, that's like I heard this rumor that George Lucas was planning to use, that he thought Ewoks would replace the teddy bear.
Yeah.
But that begs the obvious question of, well, we already have the teddy bear.
I think that's one of those things that you like he planned in his head as a way for him to get even more money.
Yeah.
Like
every time someone buys a teddy bear,
they're going to buy an Ewok.
Be
an
Ewok
it'll
instead.
Be an Ewok instead
and I make some cash.
I will make money.
Yeah.
And that's just yeah, so there you go. But what do you think? Would you watch it?
I would probably watch it purely well if I heard it was god awful, I would probably watch it because I'd be like, I'm so curious as how this even occurred.
Right.
And if it was really great, I'd almost be a little less likely to watch it because I would feel like, is this just because everyone wants it to be great or because it's like a 7, but everyone thought it was going to be a 4?
Right.
You know? So I would probably watch it.
So you'd be most likely to pass it over if people said it was good. Or actually, people said it was great. Because if people said it's like, you know, it's pretty good. It's good for what it is.
That would be most likely to pass it over.
Because then you'd be like,
I don't need it.
Then you don't need it. Right.
But if they said it was great or horrible, that would be pretty likely to watch it.
So take note, everyone. Peter will watch something if you say it is the best thing you've ever seen or the worst thing you've ever seen.
Yeah. No, I don't want a passable Sunday afternoon TNT movie anymore.
If it's competent, if it's less than an 8 out of 10,
yeah,
or if it's more than like a 2 out of 10.
Yep. Just seriously, 2 to 7, don't tell me about it. I don't want to know. But if it's a 8, 9, 10, or a 1, 2... I'm in. That's what I like the idea. Here's what I like about it being a failure. I like it's much more fun to have a failure, I think, that costs like $800 million. Right? Because they like put in all this CG and like they made a guy who floats or something.
It's like when you see Battlefield Earth.
Yeah.
And it's a thing that I always wonder, like, how many movies... Because making a movie is really hard.
Sure.
And so there's a lot of points where someone could just stop spending money.
Right.
Like, they could say...
They could be like, this is shit.
This is shit. We're going to stop. Like, people stop making movies all the time. They just say, we ran out of money. Or this happened or that happened. So we just... Screw it, we're going to stop.
I see you've got in here $150,000 codpiece budget.
Right. Like, when you see the Roger Corman Fantastic Four,
yeah,
you know why it's going to be bad, because it was made with, like, was, like, $150,000. It was made, like, for almost no money.
I watched the first 9.5 minutes.
Right.
So far, it's not bad. I'm a little confused, because it appears that Reed Richards is an adult college student, and so is Ben Grimm. And Sue Storm is a child, as is Johnny Storm.
Yeah.
Like an actual child. But Sue Storm has a thing for Reed Richards. It's very weird.
It's very Lolita all of a sudden.
Yeah. Except worse.
Way worse.
Because he just has a crush on this weird adult science man.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're supposed to just ignore that.
Yeah, you're supposed to be like, kid.
It's not the moral focal point of the story.
You're like, no, this is gross and weird. And he should tell her, like, this is not appropriate.
Yeah, someone should be an adult.
Someone needs to do something.
This is not appropriate. And besides, we need to fight Dr. Doom.
This is not a safe environment for a child.
We need to fight the college janitor that we got to wear a mask.
I'm afraid she's going to get invisible powers and then sneak in on him naked.
Mm.
Like, he's naked. And she's just going to stare at him naked and then be like, this is not what I expected.
She's going to stare at him naked and then be overwhelmed by it. And
yeah, it'll be a horrible experience.
Be traumatizing.
I think so.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that seems like a good place.
Yeah, it was a good place to stop thinking about poor pedophile, you know, poor Violet and Sue Storm.
Yeah. Well, let's get off this fucking porch.
Yep.
But thanks for coming out again.
Yeah, thank you. Got to get off this porch before this one cockroach makes its way towards us.
Oh, God. Okay, bye.
That's the first time I've played that and not screwed it up. Ever.